Accession number 11106, Mr. T. Wilson, reel 17.
Mr. T. Wilson, reel 17. You've mentioned that the guards were not the usual standard of soldier that you'd met during the course of the war and your early prison camp days. What type of men were you getting as guards at this time?
Well, there'd be older fellas. I mean, you say young soldier was there about 26, 19, 30 at the most. These fellas would be about 40 and 50s. That's what they'd be, you know. And they were just sitting along. As a matter of fact, they looked like scarecrows in the German uniform they had on. They were not the same type of people what the normal soldier was.
Did they show that they knew they were being defeated?
I think they had a feeling, really, because as we were marching along, I said to Charlie Rondy and Tommy Oliver, and we could hear our own guns in the distance, you know, some guns in the distance. Well, there was only one gun in the distance that my mother was supposed to be ours. That would be ours. And I said, we're marching the wrong way. And the weather was fine. And I said, tomorrow, we're going through like a forest and somewhere. I'm jumping. I'm away. This is what happens. And we didn't want to leave each other, so I said, right, oh, jump about 25 yards apart or 20 yards apart, and then we'll collect together. And, you know, I did jump straight on the next winnie bush. You just slung yourself. So you fired from a cannon. And then all of a sudden, even me, what was with me all the time, Charlie Rondry from Moulton, he jumped right on top of us. Oh, I was just waiting for the fella shooting the rifle. But as I said before, if the guards had been the normal soldiers, would have honestly been shot down and then without doubt or fail. But there were the Fred Carnot's army would see him all this. And they always spent there, we did collect up together, and we spent about 5 days, but we didn't know where we were. I think we come to an somewhere near to a town called Munster. And I recollect in my time, mosquito bombers were firing rockets. They were mosquitoes and that. Good old gun, we killed our own fellas. And you know, we got off back in the country again. So we didn't know, we had no maps or nothing, see? Or if we had, we wouldn't understand the German maps, being English, all right. We had no idea where we were. All we were relying on was the sound of gunfire. And, you know, we got picked up by German patrol. And we just said, Gefangene, which is like prisoner or German word for...
Sorry, you'd got away from the column, had you? You did get away from the
column?
Oh,
yes. We got away from it.
This is when you jumped and the lad landed on top of you.
We were away about 5 days. We got away from that completely. They just marched on and staggered on. And we had about 5 days searching a bit of food and getting what water we could. Well, there was little pools of water in the forest and they got, but it was stagnant, you know, it was bitter for the touch. Well, I mean, your common sense has told you, you can either wet your lips with it but take no more, otherwise you'll suffer internally with it. And come across a farmhouse, I seen a lovely fat goose or whatever it was. But I don't think I had the strength, the strength of it. You know, we would last us a few days, but and then I said, well, it might only give us away. So the goat's got a bit longer life than what he should have gotten on. But anyhow, we did get picked up with this Kafanga, and they just dropped us off at one of these working parties. But, you know, when people like a farmhouse that had so many often Belgians or different types of fellas that just stopped us off in our huts, and we just stayed there probably just about the end of the war, so it wasn't pretty near the end of the war. We only stayed there about 3 or 4 weeks. So it'll only be about 3 or 4 weeks up at the end of the war.
Were you guarded there?
No.
So literally just sitting in a hut on a farm?
Because just on a farm, I just said to the Frenchwoman, La Douche, you know, under the wash. Well, I did La Douche for washing, I think. A bit land on that up the Frenchman. And they just, the chaps there were getting red cut parcels from the Belgium and different types. Well, we couldn't speak the language, but they were working in a nearby town, whatever it was, or the transport would come and get them and bring them back to these working sites. That's the only time I ever met any working parties.
So this was, you were actually staying with another working party,
yes,
prisoner of war?
Yes, in different nationalities they were.
And did you say this was in France? Had you got that far?
No, we're still in Germany. Now, we never advanced towards France at all. We were walking further into Germany. I said that it'd be somewhere near around the town of Munster. Somewhere in that area, where 50 miles either way, we wouldn't make no difference. But we are where we were, down the town.
So how were you rescued then? How did that come about?
Well, surprising. There's a major called up. He says, there's some English sergeant there. Oh, the devil, that we. And I thought, well, it's a bluff. Really? You know, somebody in disguise and we were in English clothes. I wouldn't even take him in the first place. Oh, no. And he says, yes, and he just waved me back to a certain area, and from then on, there's very little to tell because you didn't want to remember, and you got deloused and things like that, you know, and yeah, I couldn't change the clothing and washed and that, then put in different camps yourself, but the ultimate thing was to get back home when they were in transport for to get you back home.
Just before we go to that, it was a very long march. How long did it take?
Well, I can remember one night, two nights, three or five or six nights, that's at least, I know that. Different farms were pulled up at, and different tricks were getting at to pinch something for to eat or scheme something.
Was there no food coming from the Germans at all?
No, nothing. You were just marching away, and if you dropped out, you had it. No, the mites there say, right, there's something there when you got into the farmhouse, one meal or something, but very little eat. You more or less fish for yourself. As I said, I tell me something to my thief, but they get some. For both myself and my friends. And they would do the same for me.
Did you see any men who were ill-treated on the...
No, I've never seen none abused. I mean, really, you're like a zombie yourself. You were just trudging along, and your own mind was just working. It never worked for anybody else. I mean, everybody was probably in the same state of mind. But we were fortunate that the type of guards what we had, well, we summed them up anyhow. We knew we wanted.
Were you passing through inhabited areas?
No, we're mostly kept from farm to farm. Well, Germany's a big area, and believe me, no, we wanted, passing through a village and things like that. No.
When you'd come out from your own camp, obviously with your own column, did you join up with any other columns?
Yes, this was one. It went further on, got extended on, and extended on. And I was proud to think, well, thank God, I said they got any chance where we fellas are concerned. And that's where I made my mind up. I was marching the wrong way, and I didn't intend to go no farther, whether I died or not. Because they say you're just like a zombie, just going on and on and on. They couldn't make it down no more. It wasn't a march, it was a trudge. He had the strength for the march alone, only what we term as a march, why no? It was a drag, he was dragging along.
What had happened to your own health? over this period? For example, your weight, physical well-being.
Oh, it was getting worse and worse, really. As a matter of fact, you've heard the word, what's that, beriberi, they call it, just press it, you can press your thing and something, if you had any pleasure on you, the imprint stopped on you.
And that was a stage that you'd reached?
Oh, yes. You grab the muscle of your leg, or what muscle it was then, the impression of your hand was still in the same, a bit on your forearm there, a bit muscle there, maybe some bit flesh left there. It was whatever flesh was there, you put the impression. That stopped in there for a couple of seconds, that impression.
What about your feet? did you bust your boots last?
I don't know. I think I had did get some boots. I don't know why, but later on I was marching on a pair of like rubber German gas boots. Where I got them from, I don't know. But they were, as a matter of fact, I come back to England. I was at the moment I come back to England. In gas boots, like rubberized boots. I know how I got hold of them. Because, you know, you can't remember every detail because survival is a queer thing. In your mind is working. It keeps you alive, that.
So you're picked up by a British major and taken to another place where you were...
And when British hands completely all together then come the respectable thing, get deloused, everything thrown away, and then DDTs, you know, and then medical tests, you know, like just along with that, things like that. But back to cleanliness again and among civilised people.
And were you given new uniforms?
Oh, yes. Well, I wouldn't say a new uniform. You're given different types of clothes. What they wear. I wouldn't say they were new. Oh, no, far from it.
What happened next?
Well, as far as I knew, we got in the plane. We'd been there, you know, a couple of days and think, like, oh, what a week it was, but you can't remember. And then we flew over to England. Then we got to England, down in Ashurst or somewhere, or down the south of England. And the MO just, as you come up the plane, come into the hospital, he just look at it, you that side, and you that side. Well, that's once I was in the hospital. And there was, I think we were in there about, I was in the hospital about 9 weeks.
Do you know why, the cause for it?
Oh, no, I didn't know why. The MO says that way. And then you were in the hospital and they were doing various tests on you and things like that. And then, as a matter of fact, no more so building your sense up with that. And those specialists come through to see you. The chap from Harley Street specialists as well, for they say the different effects of the human body could be run down as much as well and still stand on his feet.
So it was a kind of malnutrition situation.
Definitely. Oh, yes. All malnutrition was for everybody, let alone other little things.
How were you treated there when you got back to England?
Oh, excellent. There was nothing good enough. No. I mean, you didn't want anything. You were glad just to be kept clean and lie in bed. And know that you were back amongst your own folks. You didn't worry about nothing at all. You didn't want to, or more or less... Yeah, I started gradually opening, and then you realise you weren't back among civilian life.
Was it a military hospital you were in?
Yes. Yes, a military hospital.
And was there discipline imposed on you in the hospital, or was it pretty lenient?
No, no discipline at all. Well, I mean, you wanted to allow for the kick against the traces. I mean, it's just like I'm going out tonight and things like that. You were in hospital for I think I was in there about nine weeks, I think. 9 weeks in there, and I could still be in yet, I think, with him. No, they played the game with you. But it was nice to think that when you could feel that you were in English hands again. You know, the first thing they do, cleanliness comes first. And we're always used to being in the services. And that was nice then. The treatment,
what happened to you after that when you came out of hospital?
Well, you got so much leave, what they call, indefinite leave, until, oh no, you're back for the mobile, carry on.
And going on your leave, how were you received at home?
Oh, well, like anything else, after being away 8 years, it's really hard to explain.
Did they expect you arriving at home? Are they being formed?
I think they would. Yes, they would have been. Because I think even when I while I was in hospital in the south of England, my father came down, so they must have paid his fare, you know, like given the facilities for to get down and then stay and go back home. Oh, yes. I was visited by my father, that's right.
That army in the prison camp. Do you recall just how you felt and what, or how the pair of you felt?
Well, I think it's like a chap who's looking for gold and he finds a gold mine. And I think my father must have the same feeling. You can't expect really, but it'll be just like a chap when he's digging for, searching for a gold mine and he finds one. That's how I would put my expression down to that. Yes. Because, I mean, I never seen for about, we were 8 years abroad. No, I mean, out. And letters, I didn't worry. Well, you couldn't worry about letters. So you just everything as it was.
What was the date when you went on leave?
The date? November, December, 45, I think. Or November, I think. Or November 45, and they got, I think it was somewhere in that area. I know you were more or less sent away on indefinite leave, and word would get round to you. We had to go back and report back to, which was the place in Hartlepool.
On leave, coming back from hospital, of course, you're long years away. How would the friends and neighbourhood receive you?
Quite all right, but there's such a horrible feeling in regard even the civilians, because they had stuff to get, and yet everybody seemed to be greedy. There's sufficient for to go around. Where we'd been, where there was nothing, everybody was sharing what they had for to keep survive. I've seen attitude, and I was disgusted with the civilian population, because you walk along the street, you see a hell of a lot of people start running one way just for one shop with some bananas. And same on the night time, a chap was running from one pub to another to get a jelly beer. But there was still plenty, there was still sufficient there, as much as what I wanted, but it was still available. And the attitude was there, no, I didn't like that, I didn't fall. Well, I mean, the reason being that, we've been on a survival course. Well, they hadn't. I think that explains that little part of it. We've been on a survival for life course, and well, the civilians in England hadn't. But I was amazed at them, you know, I said, well, they'll get some. Why be greedy?
Were they interested in what you'd done and where you'd been?
For a while, yes, and it blew away like the wind.
Do you think they really understood what you'd gone through?
Never. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even put them in even the slightest picture, really, because it was impossible. I mean, because you're a villain, you've killed people, and things like that, and you went survival, and you get hammered yourself, and duty is what you have to do as the time come to it, and things like that, see? You mentioned the fellas and that. They'll think, oh, you're only making the story up.
You were a regular soldier.
Oh, yes.
Were you unfit to go on in a regular capacity, or did you decide to come out?
Well, I was coming out, but they decided that only the main prisoner war, unfit for further service. And well, I was coming up myself because I knew the regiment was going to go back out to the Far East again, which they did do, and they went out to Korea. Well, then out to Greece, and then they didn't play a thing, and ended up in Korea. And I said, oh, no. I said, they've had plenty out to me. I said, for all that forfeit, a good pension, which I would have known. I mean, I've done, like, badly. But look at the years I've lived down now. I'm 79 now. I threw a fortune away in pension if I'd kept it. I said, no, I've had enough. I'll start life again. Because I intended to stay on, you know what I mean? Well, I got to break, oh, I broke it up, and when they go back out again now.
So you went for demobilisation, I think you said Hartlepool.
No, call up for Hartlepool, and then your mobilisation would be at, what they call Stretzel Camp York.
What was the system of demobilising you?
Oh, it was easy enough. You do so-and-so, no regiment, no, you turn to Mr. So-and-so, even majors, or captain, different ranks. They were all just termed as Mr. So-and-so, and I was loads of clothing there, and the experts there saying, well, you want size shoes. They could tell you what size you wanted, or what would fit you, anything like that, and what didn't fit you. You could have a choice of a normal shoe, or a different type, or you would sport jacket and flannels, bare brown shoes, and a raincoat, or something like that, and a hat. Or a cap, but everything was supplied there as you require, what they call the demo shoot. And then they were on coupons for to get clothing. Well, you'd been a prisoner of war, all you had to produce the evidence that you're prisoner of war, which you carried. And you could go to Burton and get a one magistrate away, no coupons, no nothing, no hassle, anything. You just went present to the stores and things like that, even for to get clothes and coupons or what they want, or ration cards, just present, and then you automatically show straight through. But I know, I said, well, one day more shows, and then you got to me. You got the papers, just take, if you want to shoot, just go to Burton's or any of the leading tailors, and then make a shoot, and you'll get one straight away. And that was one good privilege you got. Well, you need it because you hadn't any. I think I got about one, two. I got two sharp, I know that. Just two sharp. My books are going years without them.
When you left the demob camp with you, any people there trying to...
Not me. I've heard that tale on before. Like, people wanted to purchase me because clothing was real scarce. But it never happened to me, no. Just because when you come back, you had your demobile, and you got later on what they had your kit in. You know, what you really had belonged to the army. Your shirts, battle dress, boots. Well, I didn't bother. I just sent me some of my old friends. They had a couple of shirts, so they got army issue. And the chap checking, I said, no, I haven't. You know, he checks the full scale of his inventory board. He says, you've got a pair of lasers, your friend, and that was short. I just said, I tell him I haven't got it. And the
were you given a sum of money?
A gratuity. Know anything about that gratuity? You've got my goat. The chap called when he did get a bit of a job. It was Emily Slice on it. It was in red ink on your papers. That amount of money wasn't down for income tax. And I travelled all over to find what fellow I was registered down for income tax or what. I never found them yet. And I was in Gates in Newcastle, anyway, all over the shop.
So they took income tax off your...
Yes, they definitely took income tax off the gratuity. And we had papers stating so, that didn't do. Oh, there was... Oh, I said, we're among the jungle fellas again here.
Do you recall how much it was that you got?
I couldn't really think about them. Really, the amount of money for our sergeant was on a respectable pay, anything like that. money didn't matter as regard anything, I'm sure not. You'd be glad to get back in England. No, not the amount of money. I couldn't, not to tell the truth, no. But they get quite a bit. I could have got service and that you pay. And then once you're working, if you had a job, whatever you could get one, if you got one, you could go on a vocational training.
Before that, what was the date on which you were demobbed? When were you demobbed, Mr. Wilson?
Well, it states in the red book what you get, the regular army, date of discharge, 18th February, 1946. The cause of discharge is service being no longer required, having been to elected to be discharged as ex-prisoner of war. Now, there was a lot of them, and then I was finished them all together. I think you could see what he comes through with things like that.
What did you do when you became a civilian?
Well, you had a spell on, but a while, and as I said, the downright was the big brewery in Sunderland. And he just mentioned he got back from the war that. You know, no trouble getting a job in the brewery. But when I got to that brewery and explained my case to them, when I got to them, I got no farther than the blooming doughy, I think. It was a dead end. Then you tried to post a government building, you couldn't. I ended up in the blooming shipyard as a labourer. That was the first time.
And did you stay there?
No, moved on to a building site for Wimpy. Wimpy's doing a lot of work, changing it around. And then, about 1947, something like that, the miners were getting them all as a gun day they'd have a job for life. I was only a youngster when I'd done that. But I started to go over again and got a job for life, that's all you want.
So you went down the mines?
The mines.
Which colliery?
Dorden Colliery, just in between Same Harbour and Sunderland. Dorden Colliery in that area.
Did you feel any embittered because you'd had difficulty getting a job after so many years in the army?
Oh, yes. Really, because We were qualified for more and things like that. As a matter of fact, I really showed resentment when I did get a job aboard the ship. As I said, the first job of the fittest mate. And we didn't know the term of the fellas in the shipyard. Uncle got the number, so he's a slinger. He's a different type of fella as a fitter. And he the number one fellow was in charge of his gang of slippers. And he was shouting, "Come here, lad." He was shouting at me. And I just walked on and walked on. Oh, there was ructions on because I was taking no notice of a fellow with a bowler hat on, say a foreman. And the chap I was working as a fitter with, he says, "About time we did get a bit of that in here with these fellas." Now, if it's just, demanding the hay, I said, "Michel, you wouldn't have been here if the thing, but we had gone through all that, just like that, and it gives you that feeling." So, what the hell with the job? I'm off another one. Only you can find out what size factory. But you weren't going to be taken down to by anybody putting pressure on, say, you've got to do that and you're going to do it. You would turn around and say, "Well, nothing to do with your job, lad." I've seen better things. There's still plenty part in this world for to do it if you want.